say that with me. Not because you've been asked to, not because we just sang it, but God, I believe in you. God, I believe in you. God, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're my God of miracles. Lord, we declare you are the God of miracles. We put our faith in you. We put our trust in you. Our foundation is built on you, my God of miracles. Unshakable, unimaginable, God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in you. God, we thank you for the miracles. We thank you that you are faithful. We thank you, Lord. You're so good to us. Not only are you the God of miracles, but you're my God of miracles. You're my God of supply. You're my God of health. You're my God of strength. You're my God of wisdom. I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe your word. I believe what you said about me. What you've declared in your word about me and what you've said corporately over this church. I believe in you. I believe in what you said that it'll come to pass. I believe that what you've declared will happen. I believe that the prodigal will return in the name of Jesus. You are the God of miracles. I believe that the provision will be there when we need it because you are my God of miracles. I believe that health will flow through my bones and through my body because you're my God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe your shed blood was more than enough. That your death on the cross was not in vain. But you are the God of miracles and you are more than enough. In this house today, the cancer must bow its knee to you and to the name of Jesus. The disease must flee. The fear must be quenched in the name of Jesus. I believe in you, my God of miracles, that no weapon formed against me can prosper because you are my God of miracles. That no voice that rises against an encounter to you can be prosperous because you are my God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you, my God. I believe in you, my God. No weapon, no enemy, no attack, no storm can conquer you. You are my God of miracles. You are my God of miracles. You are the foundation on which everything is built. And I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in you, my God. You are awesome in this place. You're healing right now. You're driving out disease. You're providing ideas for prosperity. You're changing directions. You're calling people out right now in the name of Jesus. The shed blood from Jesus Christ that flowed off that cross made a deposit in the bank of heaven that is more than enough to pay the price for anything that is needed today. In the name of Jesus, we make a demand. We write a check against that deposit that was made on the cross for healing, for supply, for prosperity, for wisdom, for decision-making intelligence, for strategies in business. We place a demand against that shed blood, that incredible deposit. And we declare, I believe in you. I believe in you. You are my God of miracles today. Oh, awesome God. We worship you. We worship you. Over the last months and years, over the last months and year or so, God has declared so many things over this congregation. You can be seated if you want. You can stand there if you want. I don't care. But the God has declared so many things over this house as a congregation, declared over some of you as individuals that need to be brought into the life of your everyday life. There's been prophetic declarations over many of you, many of us, over this house. Last October, the prophet Eric Butler declared that Pastor's 10 cities vision wasn't enough. That it's far greater than that. A few weeks ago, Pastor Chandler talked about a time of acceleration, of moving fast, quickly into the future, into our prophetic destinies. Last week, Pastor Steve Wilson preached about being pioneers and stepping out of our comfort zone. Over the last year or so, I've preached, this is my third time. Two times ago, I talked about moving out of our comfort zone and taking on the giants that stand in the hill country and declaring healing where there hasn't been healing. Not settling for less, not making treaties with the enemy, not getting comfortable with the things that are coming against us. I declared in this body that my fingers were going to be straight, that the disease that has attacked my body for 20 years is going to be completely defeated because I'm no longer going to settle in the comfortable area with the treaties I made with the enemy and stay in the valley. The last time I spoke about planting seed and clearing soil, removing the hard places in our lives, digging up the stones, the scar tissue, the old things, the family generational issues, the habits, the things that impede the planting of seed and the reproduction that God's declared over us. Those prophetic declarations and many about each of you are still there. We've got to just latch on to them. We've got to declare, I believe in you. I believe you are my God of miracles. You're not going to leave me the way you found me. You're going to continue the work. I can take on the giants. I can move into the hill countries where there's walled cities. And I can take the land God has promised. The shed blood of Jesus is more than enough. It's more than enough to do everything his word declares, to create in us everything that he has declared over us as overwhelming conquerors, Romans 8, as victors. Deuteronomy 28 says, we are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We are blessed coming in and going out. How many of us are living that way? But that's what the word says. Lord, I believe your word. I believe your prophetic declarations. I believe you are my God of miracles. Isaiah 54, verse 2 says, clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs in deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room. I believe that's a prophetic picture of what God's wanting to do. He's declared expansion over this house. He's declared expansion over you. He's declared prodigals returning. He's declared health and healing. He's declared that the disease cannot stand. But we have to build the foundation that that can be built on. And that's what this scripture is about. It's a prophetic picture. It's not so much about the size of the tent. It's about the strength and the quality of the foundation that it's built on. We're not responsible for the size of our tent. God declares the vision. We're responsible for the foundation that that is built on. In the 1300s, there was a tower built in Pisa, Italy. Incredible structure, very beautiful, well built, strong, strong enough that it can lean at something like 18 degrees without collapsing. The Leaning Tower of Pisa. Leaning Tower of Pisa. Took them about 100 years to build this thing. It's an amazing structure. But the foundation wasn't adequate for what was built on it. The vision of the architect, of the designer that built that and designed that, was not adequately supported by the foundation that they built it on. Now they're struggling to try and prop it back up, to weight down one side and pump up the other to get it back to not straight, but not falling. You can have the most incredible structure. You can have an amazing vision God's given you, prophetic declarations over you and your family. If there's not a foundation to support it, to carry the weight of it, the height of it, the ultimate dimension that God has declared, it can't sustain itself. Today, we're going to talk a lot about those foundations. We're not responsible for the structure, but for the foundation. Several years ago, I go every year to, almost every year, I'm not going this year, to Eastern Montana, to the Peabody's Ranch, the T-Hart Ranch, and I help with the branding and the roundup. And set up my tent on the grass, move in my airbed, and my little recliner lounge chair, fold-up chair, and I make myself comfortable because I'm there for 8 or 10 days. About the third night, the wind started to blow. A storm blew out across the prairie. I'm snug in my bed, my big old thick air mattress, and down in my sleeping bag. My tent hit me in the face as the wind bowed it clear over. I had staked it down in the corners, but I had not bothered to hook the support straps that hold it upright. And all of a sudden, I'm pressed against my mattress with my tent. So I'm out there in my gym shorts at 3 a.m. in driving rain and heavy wind, trying to untangle the cords that I should have dealt with earlier and pound them into the ground with my flip-flop because I can't find the hammer, and dripping wet. If somebody had looked out the window of the house, they'd have run because I hadn't bothered to follow through on the full foundation of the structure. As lightweight and simple as a tent is, I hadn't tied everything down the way it should be. Jesus talks about that when he talks about the men that hear the word of God and how they respond to it, how they react to it. He talks about two men. He contrasts one that hears the word and doesn't take heed to it, and he builds his house on the sand. When the storm comes and the wind comes, because it does, always. The word says, I love the way it says it, great was the fall of that house. He says, the guy that hears the word and does it, acts on it, says he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently. I should have used a different translation. The storm came, beat against the house. It says it could not shake it because it was founded on the rock. Where's your faith founded? Because a storm's coming. The storm is always going to test what you build and what God wants to build in you. It always does. What I don't get is why we don't always expect it. We get a prophetic declaration. We go charging off into our prophetic destiny, and we get smacked upside the head. It's like, what in the world was that? But it's going to happen. Satanic, demonic attack comes against us almost immediately. But more than that, it's also our culture. Our culture is aligned against the Christian life. Everything the media says and does, everything that's portrayed in politics, in most of the education system, is aligned against godly principles and values. It's aligned against the Word of God. It is going to attack. How do we respond? Almost any other faith can be exalted, taught about, talked about, except for Christianity. We're mocked. we're attacked, and it's great fun in our culture today. Tolerance only goes one direction. Nobody wants to tolerate us reading our Bible, but they expect us to tolerate everything they represent. Our culture is aligned against us. I saw this in a post. It was a sign outside a Baptist church. It said, gradually, the unthinkable becomes tolerable, then acceptable, then legal, then praised. Pretty much defines our culture right now, where it's not only tolerable, but it's expected to be praised. Additionally, the storm is just a natural deterioration over time, where things just decay. It's the order of things. We make we repent at the altar, we declare what God's going to do for us, and we go charging into our future, and the next day we sashay towards our future, and the third day we sit in our chair and think about our future. By the fourth day, we've forgotten it. It's a natural deterioration over time that attacks the very vision and the prophetic destiny that God implants. Over this house, over many of you, there have been prophetic declarations, amazing futures, destinies beyond belief that God wants to see happen. We have to be building the foundation that can stand on, that can support the depth, the weight, the height of that prophetic destiny. The thing that God's declared over you, who you are in Christ, demands a significant structural foundation. And not just the concrete, but the supply systems, the waste removal systems, the systems to get the garbage that flows through your mind out of your structure and brings in a fresh flow of the anointing of the Holy Spirit into that structure. The utilities that are required to bring the power and the support and the resources to the structure, the prophetic future that God has for you. Today I want to talk quite a bit about some anchor points that we need for that prophetic future. This morning as I was getting ready, I was prompted with a picture of kelp. I used to scuba dive quite a bit in the Monterey Bay through the kelp forests, and you probably have all seen it, sometimes washed up pieces of it on the beach, the Monterey Bay Aquarium. It's kelp. You know that kelp can grow 2 feet a day? Can grow 150 feet in one growing season. But the unique thing about kelp is not just that it grows fast, but its root structure. It has what is called a holdfast. Tentacle-type structures that grow out of the bottom of it and surround and completely will encompass the rock on which it is set. Is that a prophetic picture or what? You want amazing growth? You want the acceleration that Pastor Chandler preached about? You've got to have a holdfast that completely encompasses the rock, Christ Jesus, that you're built on. It has to be immovable. You rarely see a full kelp plant washed up on the beach. You'll see pieces. On the rare occasion you actually see a whole kelp plant, it's because it was grounded on too small of a rock. And the whole rock breaks loose from a piece of sand that it was laying in, and washes up on the beach. But if your prophetic destiny is grounded in Christ, our solid rock, it is virtually impossible to break it away, just like the kelp doesn't break away from that. Parents, part of this prophetic picture is also the way offspring are created in kelp. They grow out of the holdfast. Their root structure is entwined in the structure of the original parent plant. What a prophetic picture that as parents, when we're grounded on the rock, when we're locked in tight, when our anchor points are secure in Christ Jesus, in the Word, in prayer, in church, in relationships, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we cannot be uprooted, and our kids grow in that also. The scripture that says about our children, when they're old, they won't depart from it. I think this is an amazing picture of that, because we have locked so into the rock, Christ Jesus, that it's just natural for them to grow into it as well and be grounded in that. Live the Word. Speak the Word over them. Pray with them, for them, and about them. Get them into church. Get them grounded, because their prophetic destiny is probably greater than yours. And likewise, the enemy's attack against them would be equally great. Parents, don't shirk your duties. Get your kids grounded in the Word. So 4 points. Some anchor points that we've got to hang on to. The first is the Word. Get into the Word every day. Get the Word into you. Learn what it says. Use it for warfare. Use it to battle. Use it for sustenance. When Jesus was attacked, came face to face with Satan himself, what did he do? Did he declare a fast? Did he fall to his knees and pray? No, he declared the Word. This is what the Word says, and the enemy can't stand against the Word. Get the Word in you, because it can't flow out of you if it's not in you. You don't have time to grab your phone and look for your app and search for a scripture that you may know one or two words about. God, there's got to be something in there about this. What is it? And it leads you through the book of Hezekiah, and you can't find nothing there because it's not even there. You got to know the Word. What does it say about you? Who does it say you are? What does it declare about you? Romans 8 declares about me, I am an overwhelming conqueror through Christ Jesus. The Word declares that health and healing is mine. It's my bread. That it's already happened. What does the Word declare? When the enemy comes, that's not the time to get it into you. This is a foundational anchor point that we need to, like that scripture said in Isaiah, drive our tent stake deep into the ground, tie off to the solid Word of God. Use it to declare who you are. Use it as a guidebook. Know what it says. Use it to evaluate what you hear. Our society, our culture, our media, our politicals, even people in this pulpit may not preach exactly the Word. Don't follow everything you hear, even from this pulpit. I think we do a pretty good job of filtering what comes up here. But weigh it against the Word, and you've got to know the Word to do that. You get locked into one specific idea or one specific speaker or one specific topic, and you get weird. What does the Word say? What does it declare? That's who I am. That's who you are. That's where my prophetic destiny lays. Drive your tent stake deep into that anchor point. The second one is prayer. You can only be as strong as your prayer life. A couple months ago, my wife and I, and Greg and Joy Young actually, flew back to Boston to a ministry school put on by Pastor Chandler Cleveland. Amazing school, 3 or 4 days. And as a result, when we came back home, we decided we needed to up our game. In a time like this, when we believe that God's doing something different, he's wanting to change some the way we do some things, he's wanting to accelerate. Let me take a detour. I actually talked to a coach about leading up into the big game. I feel that a lot of the prophecies over this church and over you as individuals is the big game. It's the Super Bowl. It's the finale. It's the finals. He said that what do they go back to in the coaching? To the fundamentals, to the basics. Because the hype of the big game, the hype of the prophetic destiny, the emotion of a fresh prophetic declaration can get us off our game, and we've got to get back into the basics. That's what we're talking about today, the basics. I know it's not profound, but it's the basics. It's what gets us through the finals. It's what we need to succeed. So my wife and I have decided that we would up our game, get up earlier, spend more time on our face before God, more time in worship. I actually quit listening to country music. Yay! We stream worship services in our living room a lot of the time. But we dedicated ourselves to getting up earlier and spending time in the Word and in prayer. Day one went good. Day two went good. The night after that, our old dog wigged out. Woke up about, well, actually, we were getting ready for bed, and he had like some crazy panic attack. I didn't know dogs did that, but our old dog did. And he would not lay down for hours. He paced. He whined. He poked us with his nose. His little nails click-clicking across the hard floor. And we didn't get much sleep. Prayer time didn't happen that morning. We were tired. Three nights of that. Three nights of our dog pacing. Took him to the vet, or called the vet, rather. Says, you know, not much you can do. It's, you know, how's he acting during the day? He's fine. So by night three, I'm ready to give him Benadryl. Open his mouth, pour it in. OD, oh well. My wife is much more in tune with the Spirit than I am at times. My gift of discernment is not always the greatest. She says, you know, Chip, I think this is a demonic assignment. Demons attack dogs? No, but they sure attack your prophetic destiny. And if you're anchoring into driving that stake deep into a prayer life that's going to carry you and allow your structure to be built to what God's declared it to be, Satan will go at anything he can. So we got down that night. We prayed over the dog. We declared that he would rest. That nothing, no weapon formed against our prayer life manifesting in our dog would prosper. That dog's slept good ever since then. Snores a little, but he's sleeping sound. And we got our prayer life back on track. But that doesn't win the whole battle. Because every morning I've got to ask myself a simple question. Because my body wants more sleep every day, no matter how much it gets. And every day I have to ask myself, which do you want more? Do you want 45 minutes of sleep? Or do you want to fulfill the prophetic destiny God's declared over you? Do you want 45 more minutes sleep? I'll ask you, do you want 45 more minutes sleep? Or do you want to see your prodigal son come back to the altar and give his life to God? Do you want 45 more minutes sleep? Or do you want to see cancer eradicated from your body? Do I want 45 more minutes sleep, or do I want to see my hands straight and me to walk in total health? Do you want 45 more minutes sleep, or do you want prophetic strategies for your business that'll take it to the next level? Do you want 45 more minutes sleep, or do you want an intense relationship with the God of the universe, where he talks and you listen and where you communicate daily with him? What do you want? What do you want? Drive your stake deep into the foundational cornerstone of prayer. cry out for your family and for your friends. Declare what God says about them, who they are, who they're going to be. Take territory spiritually. God told Joshua, wherever you walk, wherever the sole of your foot treads, I'll give that to you. Are you taking territory? Are you prophetically walking over things in the spirit in prayer and saying, God, give me this. I must have that. God, I need this. You can't take territory sitting on your easy chair with your feet up and the remote in your hand, because your soul ain't touching nothing. It's only in prayer. It's only in walking out what God said that we can see that happen. Make a demand on it. God, your word says my child will return. I'm declaring that. I'm taking this territory. My son will return. My daughter will return. My grandchildren will serve God. Make those declarations. Up your game fast. The Old Testament talks about a king, an evil king actually, that was losing a battle. He sacrificed his son on the wall of the city, and the battle turned. Sacrifice brings power. Sacrifice brings power. Give up a meal. Give up the TV. Give up the Facebook and Instagram. If God's calling you to give it up, sacrifice that. It brings power where it's needed. Many, many years ago, I was somewhat less intelligent. I decided that I knew people were fasting. I was going to fast too. People were on liquid fasts. You know, I see them toting around Jamba Juice and all that, and they're fasting meat and whatever. I decided, yeah, I can suck it through a straw. That's a liquid fast. Apple pie and ice cream in a blender. You can suck it through a straw. But it's not a sacrifice. And there's no power in it. Just because you can suck it through a straw doesn't mean it's a sacrifice. Sacrifice brings power. And then finally in your prayer life, make sure you listen. We go to God so often with a list. God, I need this and this and this and this and this, and bless this person and this person and this person, and oh yeah, the church and five campuses, and okay, thanks God. Have a good day, amen. We go charging off. How often do we listen? That ministry school we went to, Pastor Chandler made a very profound point. I've read it and read it, never heard it. He says, the scripture says that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, always interceding on our behalf. He said, I challenge you to ask Jesus, what is he interceding on your behalf about? What a profound thought. What is Jesus praying for you right now? What's on Jesus' heart for you at this time? You don't know when a storm's coming, but he does. You don't know what you're going to face, but he does. What's he praying for you right now? Ask him. If you listen, he'll tell you. And he'll change your prayer life. The third anchor point I want to talk about is church and relationships. Man, I'm out of time already. Church and relationships. Hebrews 10:23-25 says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. Let us think of ways to motivate one another in acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Get into small groups. Get into relationships. get here on Sundays, hear the word preached, play podcasts as you work or as you drive, tithe. How can you build your financial future without the cornerstone of tithing? God even says, test me in this. Test me, prove that I'll come through for you in the tithe. Get some training, Grow Tracks, Impact School of Ministry, teachings, books. Get trained. Develop accountability relationships where somebody can challenge you and say, hey, dude, you're off a little bit here. If you can't be corrected, you're in trouble. Church brings balance. You ever seen the is it Brown Town, the Alaskan Bush people on TV? Those people are weird because they're isolated. They have their own dialect, their own manner of speaking, their own accent, because they're never around anybody else. We can get way out of balance if we're not gathering together. The final one on your outline is not so much an anchor point, but is the connection to that anchor, to the first three anchors. And that is our mindset. Our mindset doesn't anchor us, but it connects us to that anchor. And if our mindset is distorted or tweaked, it will affect how we tie off to those anchor points. Know who you are in Christ. Who does God say you are? And then take every thought captive. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That can be done. That must be done. But it takes some work. If your mind is like mine, it's spinning out of control most of the time, especially when I get down to pray. But take your thoughts captive. Talk to them. Talk to your mind. I had to. I've yelled at me a few times. What are you saying? Oh, man, I feel this cold coming on. I feel like everybody else is getting it. Stop it! That's not what the Word says. The Word says I can walk in health. I've already been healed because of the blood of Jesus. Don't let your mind run away with you. When your mind says, I'm stupid, who hasn't said that? Oh, you're so stupid. I can't believe you just did that. Exchange it with, I have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. When you say, I'm loved, no. For God so loved me that he gave his only son. I'm sick, no. By his stripes I'm healed. Fear and anxiety comes in, no. I'm an overwhelming conqueror through Christ Jesus. I can't do it. No. I can do all things through Christ. Philippians 4:13. Build your foundation strong. Build it deep. There's a tremendous weight of a structure, of a prophetic destiny that God wants to build in you. And if your foundation isn't there, if it's not adequate, great will be the fall of it. You can't just poke your finger into the dike and stop a leak at this time in our life. We have to build the dike up. It's time to expand, not just react. It's time to grow. It's time to go face down before God. We can't get caught up in fighting fires. We've got a world to reach. We've got a prophetic destiny to achieve. Build the foundation. Lay it deep. Clear plenty of ground. Drive those tent stakes in deep, in prayer, in the word, in church, and in relationships. Lay that foundation to support the structure. But there's no life in my prayer life. There's no life in it. Do what Ezekiel did. It says he came to the valley of dry bones. There was nothing down there but death. Dry bones. He began to prophetically declare life. Do that over your prayer life. Do that over your Bible reading. I read, I get nothing out of it. I got to grind out 3 chapters today to stay to my plan. I get nothing out of it. I'll declare life into it. God, I believe in you. I declare that you are my source. You are my sustenance. You are my strength. Lord, I need your Holy Spirit to breathe life into me, into my prayer life, into my Bible time, into everything I do. Prophetically declare strategies for business. Prophetically declare health and healing. Prophetically declare the prodigal will return. Prophetically declare supply. And see life come into dead bones. I believe this is a word for this time. Prophetic for you. Prophetic for this church. Prophetic for the Church of Christ, universal. I want to lead you in prayer, and then we're going to go back into worship in just a minute. Awesome God. Lord, first of all, we repent for focusing on the structure, on the things around us, and less on the foundation. Lord, forgive me for not building deep, strong foundations, for not anchoring my life on the foundational principles, for being more excited about the big game than about the fundamentals. Forgive me, Lord. Lord, breathe life into our prayer lives. Breathe life into our Bible time. Breathe life into our gathering together. And Lord, may we lay foundations that can support the length and the width and the height and the weight of the amazing prophetic destinies that you've declared over each of us, to be all that you say we are and say we will do and be. I thank you for the deposit on the cross that provided all of it. If you don't know Jesus, that'd be a great time to introduce yourself. It's really quite simple. Just acknowledge that he is your Savior, that his shed blood was for you and for your forgiveness. If you want to do that, if you don't mind, nobody's looking around, just raise your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, we just give our lives to you again, each one of us. Be the Lord. Come in, cleanse us, forgive our sins, wash away the past, make us new creatures in you. In Jesus' name. I'm going to go back into worship right now just for a few minutes. Altar team will come up in a little while. If you have an offering, ushers will be serving right now while we sing. Drop that in. Build your foundations deep.
Amen. Thank you for that word, Pastor Chip. Let's thank Pastor Chip. Always authentic, always powerful. Let's respond to that word with this prayer. So make me your vessel.
The Holy Spirit is ministering powerfully right now. Just pull down one more minute. Let God connect really strong. I'm going to bless you in Jesus' name. But first, I want to invite you this afternoon at 3 o'clock. If you come in that door, we have the Gateway Healing Center. We're not going to have it again until October. But this personal ministry, you want to get prayed for. You need a prophetic word. You're struggling with some, you need some spiritual freedom. You need to get your heart healed. You need physical healing. Come this afternoon, we have it for you personally. And what I want to do now is bless you in Jesus' name. If you're ready to be blessed, just kind of like put up your spiritual feelers. You can even put up your hands as a prophetic sign to God. Yes. Okay, are you ready? By the authority given to me, I bless you in Jesus' name. I decree over you an ability to have clarity, to assimilate and apply the word of God, the Logos word from heaven, to be charged by the Holy Spirit to apply to your life in every situation. I decree that over you. I decree over you the ability to hear the voice of God for your life in Jesus' name. To be able to move forward in your relationship with God. I decree that over you. I decree over you the graces of God already planned from the foundation of the world so that there is resource supplied waiting for you today and each day in Christ Jesus. And finally, I decree and declare and bless over you the peace of God and the very joy of the Lord who is your strength. In Jesus' name. And if you receive that, say amen. 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 Now we have people up here to agree with you in prayer for whatever your need is right now. We will see you this afternoon. Greet each other on the way out. God bless you. Have a great afternoon in God.